Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Easter weekend is here, but if you're starting to panic about the feast that you have to put together on Easter Sunday, worry not. We have an expert on hand. Catherine Fulvio, owner of Ballynockan House and Cookery School in Wicklow, is here now with all of your last minute tips and tricks that you'll need. You'll have to get back now through the rain. Did you hear about the orange warning in Wicklow?
No.
The rain is coming, Catherine. But it means that we've loads of time to spend in the kitchen getting all the nice things ready for the weekend.
Oh, sure, that's perfect.
Now, quick and easy choices we want to start with, first of all, right? Keeping it simple, because we don't want to... This is not Christmas.
Yes. No, it's not your big dinner. This is just a lovely Sunday lunch. So it's Sunday lunch amped up a little bit, shall we say.
Yes. Okay, well, let's do some easy things first if we're entertaining, right?
Right, so you could do lamb. Because lamb is the tradition around this time of the year.
We're doing easy though now. We're still into roast territory.
Oh, okay. Well, how about doing a lovely roast beef? Just a simple roast beef, Claire.
Well, I thought you were going to bring us some lamb chops, you see.
I will have the lamb chops, yes. Lamb chops. And then you can put a little bit of, you know what, a crust on that would be really nice, like a breadcrumb crust. So you can make a bit of rosemary, garlic, breadcrumbs and a bit of mustard. The mustard helps the breadcrumb stuffing mix stick to the lamb chops.
Yeah, and it's simple, but it can look fancy if you put the crust on it, right? That's what we're aiming for here.
Absolutely. Put them in the oven. And then what I do is I put, you can cut your lamb chops individually or you can put it like on the rack itself. But on the chops, I usually just put the stuffing on the top and put them in the oven and cook them in the oven and they're done in about 15 minutes.
Right, nice and simple, right? And for a vegetarian option, you have a spring vegetable tart.
Yes. So this is like cheats corner. So I would go for your shop bought puff pastry.
Oh, great.
And then, you know, you don't even have to roll it out. The job's done. And then all you need to do is get some cream cheese. But then you've got to think about how you're going to flavour that cream cheese because otherwise it's a bit boring.
Bland, yeah.
So you could cook off a few caramelised onions if you want, or you could simply sprinkle a little bit of parmesan, a bit of paprika, all of that. Get a nice base on the cream cheese. And then you simply load up spring vegetables, things like asparagus, peas, mange too, all of that. If you have a few fresh herbs, sprinkle them over, if not a little bit of dried oregano, into the oven, and then you've got your vegetarian dish ready
to
go.
No need to pre-steam the veggies or anything, just lash it in.
No, you don't, because what you can do is you can cut your asparagus. So if you cut it into
slivers,
yeah, exactly, then it'll cook in the oven in the same time as the pastry.
Perfect, and that's done for us. Now, at Christmas time, I know that you always say, get the veggies ready the night before. Are you the same at Easter, Catherine?
Yes, it is. If you're doing the big Sunday lunch and you want to do that leg of lamb or the big kind of oven to table showpiece, and you've got everybody coming around, if you can get ahead at all, I would. I'd get the veggies prepped and have everything ready. Then the other thing to think about to get ahead would be something like a brunch board or a starter board. They always work out really well and they're very filling. So it means it takes the pressure off when it comes to the main course. You could downgrade the main course a little bit if you want.
You can get a lot of that ready in advance as well, can't you? If you're doing the big board, and people love that because it's picky and
it is. It's
a
picky.
Good idea.
And the great thing about it is a lot of those products are Irish products. You can buy a lot of those small little, you know, meats and hummuses and all of that, and they're made locally here in Ireland. So you're supporting small Irish business as well.
A bit of smoked salmon maybe on there as well.
Oh, smoked salmon would be lovely for Easter. Mm. Yeah. And a little bit of creme fraiche.
I'd be tempted now to pad that out with cheese, but you can't really if it's your starter. That doesn't work, does it? Because the cheese is for after.
I think it'd probably be a bit rich if you had the cheese as well as the smoked salmon.
No one would eat their dinner then.
Yeah. But if you were doing, say, an Easter Sunday brunch, and then having something much later in the day, that's when your cheese will go on the board. Put out a big board and put it in the middle and your job's done then, and let everybody help themselves.
The key is not to make it too stressful, because if you're putting together a fancy starter and then you're doing your lamb and then you have your... You're just absent. You're not able to have a chat with people, right?
Yeah, that's when you need to phone a friend. That's when you need backup. Yeah. Delegate. That's one of my tips.
So the main things then when you're planning your meal, and I know we're at the stage now on Good Friday, people probably have it planned, but your colour, your texture and your time.
Yeah, it's one of the things I always talk about. So, for example, probably now, this isn't a very good example, but probably the worst meal you could think about doing would be, say, oh, I'll do a potato soup and then I'll do a fish pie and we'll have panna cotta for dessert. Everything's white, everything's soft. There's no colour, there's no texture. So just think of that. So you need crunch, you need something you can add with like nuts and crunchy vegetables and salads and all of that give you that crunch. So balance everything mm-hmm. with that. Similarly, if you're doing a roast, it's just nice to have a salad on the side so you've got that vibrancy and the colour. And then when it comes to colour, think things like peppers, sweet potatoes, butternut squash, carrots, anything that's kind of nice and vibrant that's going to cut in with, because a roast, and it is very typical at this time of the year, but a roast can be quite brown. Mm-hmm. So this is what you're trying to do, is trying to like bring a bit of vibrancy to the table. Because if you're putting that lovely leg of lamb out on a platter, wouldn't it be just gorgeous to have this multicoloured vegetables all the way around mm-hmm. it on the platter?
Listen, you brought us to the lamb now, so let's get right into it. The mint accompaniment with it, whether you're doing a jelly or a sauce, tell us how you make that.
So I've got a particular mint jelly that's really lovely. It is a bit of work, but it's lovely. And for that, I use apples and Moroccan mint, which I have in my garden at home. So that's kind of got, it's a slight kind of cumin flavour to it. It's really nice, but regular mint will do you fine. And I lemon juice, water, and I cook off all of that. So I chop up the apples, cook it all off. And then when it becomes very much puree paste-like, then I sieve it, collect the juice. And then you need some jam sugar. And the jam sugar mixed with the juice, boil it as if you're making a jam, and that sets. And that's how you make more or less a jelly. So that will be your mint jelly.
And you can do that way in advance and keep for ages, isn't it? Because it's got the sugar in it.
But the other thing that's really easy, Claire, to do is just to make a mint sauce. Mm. Like years ago, my mum used to always buy the jar of mint sauce. And then she thought, why am I doing this? You just chop up mint. You need a bit of vinegar, a bit of sugar, a bit of salt and chopped up mint, and you cook it.
And you're done.
And you're done. And it's absolutely
nicer,
lovely.
You know, it's nicer.
And there's nothing
it's
added in, and it's absolutely fresh. Yep. Yeah.
And of course, the lamb that we're going to get here, particularly where you're from, I mean, it's the best that you're going to get anywhere, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all like, I mean, you'll buy Irish lamb anyway, of course, because that's what we're going to be buying from our local butchers. But spring lamb is in season. It's just started to come into season. It traditionally comes in at Easter. It is an investment piece, but a little goes a long way, and it's absolutely delicious. And for me, for the leg of lamb, I mix some cumin, rosemary, lemon zest, honey and oil, and I spread that over the lamb. Equally, you could keep it simple. You can make little incisions and do the traditional garlic and rosemary into the lamb. And believe me, that flavour infuses beautifully into the lamb.
When you're doing the rub that you described there, if that's what it is, mm-hmm. do you put the incisions in as well so that it can get in?
I do. And I put a little bit of garlic in as well. Mm. I do like the garlic with the lamb.
Garlic
lamb
with everything.
Lamb takes flavour so well. At this time of the year, lamb is particularly sweet as well, but it just loves extra flavour. It's that kind of meat. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful.
And then, are you low and slow then with the cooking?
No, I don't. I go standard with the lamb because I like it with a little bit of pink in the centre. So I go in at a standard roasting temperature of about 180 to 200, depending on. 200 will get a lovely colour and then knock it back to 180. And I do my usual 20 minutes per pound, Claire. I'm a standard girl. I don't deviate on stuff like that. But what I do sometimes is I actually, dare I mention, barbecue the lamb. Now, you've mentioned orange warning, so maybe that won't be an option
for me.
Might
happen this weekend.
But the barbecued lamb is absolutely gorgeous. You can do this exact same recipe and get your butcher to take the bone out and fire up your barbecue and barbecue it beautifully. And I can tell you the flavour is just going to be
divine. I'd be terrified now it would burn or something, you know, that it would go wrong on the barbecue. But, you know.
Think of the barbecue like the oven. Mm. All barbecues nowadays have lids. They all have temperatures on them. So you just go by the temperature that's on the barbecue, the same as you would with your oven, and you monitor that. And all barbecues have a kind of a hot spot and then a medium spot. And you just start the lamb on the hot spot and move it to the medium spot. It's that simple,
just
Claire.
It keeps your oven free as well, doesn't it? You know,
it
if
does.
You're in a one oven house like me, trying to get the meat out, keep it warm, whack up the temperature for the roast potatoes. If you have your lamb in the barbecue, you don't have to think about that.
And there's something quite celebratory, I think, about having the barbecue, you know, because you don't have it so often in Ireland. There's a lovely feeling about, oh, and the smell of everything coming from the barbecue.
Summer is coming.
It does. It gets you into really good humour, regardless of the weather.
Now, I want to talk to you about gravy for lamb as well. What do you do for the gravy?
So when your lamb has roasted, take it out, and then you've got all those lovely caramelised juice at the base of the pan. You don't want to be wasting them. They are gold dust.
Mm. Can be fatty though, can't they?
They can, but you can strain, you can just scoop off the top of the fat. But what you want to get is the little caramelised bits. Now you can loosen them with a little bit of water or a little bit of chicken stock either, which kind of builds up the layer of flavour. And then to make your gravy, what I do is I get shallots, finely diced. You don't want kind of chunks of onion flavour. Finely dice your shallots in a pan. Then I add a little bit of garlic, cook that for a minute, and then in goes my red wine, my tomato puree, my stock and my lamb bits, my flavouring from the lamb. And you simmer that for 3 minutes, and then I thicken with corn flour. That's an option. Or you can just let it reduce. Mm-hmm. You get that lovely clear colour when you let it reduce. The corn flour is obviously going to change the colour a little bit.
It just changes the colour, doesn't it? Yes. And then sometimes I'm sneaking in all sorts of things to try and make it brown again.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't always work.
Yeah, do you know there's a great product called arrowroot?
Yeah.
That you can get. It's hard enough to get it, but I do manage to get it in the health food shops. And that I use to thicken generally sweet sauces, and it keeps everything like glass. It's see-through. It's beautiful product to work with. It's a fantastic thickener, and I also use it in savoury sauces,
right,
just as a shortcut.
I don't want to be mean to the corn flour now, because the corn flour has got me out of many a scrape with thickening sauces. It's a great little thing, isn't it?
It is great. It just changes the colour.
It changes the colour.
Yeah.
And what about sweetness? Do you add red currant jelly or anything to that? Do you need it?
Yes, you can add. I would taste it first and see what you think, because if the juices
or
of the lamb,
a bit of honey or anything, if you need to,
If you have the juices of the lamb and the lamb has caramelized beautifully, those caramelized juices are sweet anyway. So you might get away without the red currant jelly.
You might need it. Now, we better talk about dessert, because for some people, that's the most important part of the whole thing, right? So what are we having for Easter dessert? Easter eggs. Smashed up Easter eggs.
For the dessert. Well, you could actually try and get baking. You could start making your simnel cake, which is your classic Easter cake. And that is, it's a type of fruit cake, and it's layered up. And classically, it has a marzipan topping, like a circular marzipan topping flat on it. You'd want to like almonds for this now. And then you have these marzipan balls that you put around it. And you're supposed to put 11 marzipan balls around, and they go around the edge, and they are supposed to represent the 11 apostles minus Judas.
There you go. He's out today, isn't he? That's very heavy. That's like Christmas cake nearly.
That's a proper celebratory cake, you know, but a lot of people like that. I mean, I think a carrot cake around this time of the year, or a coconut cake or a lemon cake is always really nice. It would be nice to have a cake or a really nice pavlova and put that in the centre of the table. Something that's pre-made that you can just take, pop it in the centre, and you get the ooh and the applause, and you take your bow.
Well, I'm only half messing about the broken Easter eggs, because really they're a great way. It's a great way to use them up.
If you have them left on. Yes, you can. So I have a few ways to use them up. Obviously, the cream eggs make great hot chocolate, by the way. So that'd be quite nice on Easter Monday. Yeah, you just heat up your milk and put in your cream eggs into it.
Oh.
Because you've got the sweetness inside the cream eggs
and you've got
the chocolate on the outside. How about making a biscuit cake? We all love a biscuit cake. Come on, that is now one of the nicest things. So that's simple. Everybody has a few biscuits lying around. Maybe. So just crush up your biscuits. You'll have your chocolate, maybe a little bit of golden syrup just to bring it together. That holds it together. Marshmallows, like mini marshmallows.
Lovely.
Maybe some soaked raisins or dates or apricots or cranberries, if you have them still in the press left over from that festive season we had a few months back. Anything like that, just dried fruit, and bring all of that together and leave it to set. And it's absolutely lovely.
Can we put some Maltesers in there as well?
Oh, now you're talking.
Oh, they're so nice in a chocolate biscuit cake. You can't beat them.
And in a cheesecake.
Really?
Oh, Malteser cheesecake is one of the nicest you've ever tried.
In the base.
Yes.
There's another idea. We'll have to
In the filling.
Oh, in the filling.
Yeah, you crush them up and put them in the filling.
Delicious.
Uh-huh.
Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Fulvio there with her last minute Easter tips from Ballynockin House and Cookery School in Wicklow.